The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have Jody Jackson today on the injury to Corbin Burns, on if she believes Tori Lamello is in danger of losing his job, all things around the Diamondbacks. Jody's about ready to head out on the road to Atlanta to join up with the team. Jody Jackson will be with us. That comes up here in a few minutes. We will have John Wilner today. And John and I are definitely going to get in the weeds today in college sports, because the SEC and the Big Ten are trying to dictate the new college football playoff. And this would have impacted Arizona State football in a big way last year and moving forward. And if U of A can figure it out, you have to know the rules to get into the postseason. And 2026 is right around the corner, and they still don't have the rules put together. The Big Ten wants it one way, the SEC wants it another. The Big 12 really doesn't have a say. But John will fill in the blanks on that. We will get in the weeds with John Wilner and Wilner Hotline. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We have been away. I feel like I haven't been with you guys in a few weeks. Just stuff. Taking some time off and sick, just feel like I've been in a rut. You feel like you're in a rut and you just can't seem to get out of the rut. We have ruts. People like, what are you doing? I remember, you know, not on our level, but way, way, way up there. Charles Barkley once pulled into a gas station. I was waiting for him to come on the air when I was doing radio, and he called in, he was lost, he didn't know his directions. I think it was Peoria Mall, and he's trying to explain to me why he's not there on time while we're on the air. My type of show, you know, total ad lib, don't need it scripted out, all that nonsense. And somebody walks up to him, what are you doing here? This is on the air. What are you doing here? I don't know, I'm buying gas. What does it look like I'm doing here? So that's at that level. All of us have days where we don't feel great. And I think in the last couple of weeks, I've just had a bug like in here, and it's been brutal. So I'm not whining, but just we haven't been on much live. It is it's the season to try to get things all put together for the football year, and on and on and on. No excuses. We're ready to go today. The Diamondbacks have not been ready to go. I am still not on the mind or side of firing Tori Lavello yet. A year ago on June 2nd, the Diamondbacks were 8 back in the National League West. Today, or in the wild card. Today, they're 5 back in the wild card. A year ago, they were 26-32. They were 10 out of first place a year ago. This year, they are closer to being in first than last. They're not going to get there the way things are going this year. It's really easy in baseball to say, white flag, it's over. And I'm going to talk to Jody about this in a few minutes. Watching them play, it's pretty simple. I believe it's as simple as it's a long season. It's no surprise that in May, the month of May, the Diamondbacks just aren't good. They're not a good early starting season team. They may be for a week or two, but they're just not good. And can you get out of the playoff race early? Yes, you can. They're not out of the playoff race. It's just, you know, what happened yesterday with Corbin Burns walking off the mound, he's never been in this space before. And so if it's something that didn't feel quite right, and he said it was his bleeping elbow or however I read lips, then I have to trust that he knows his body. But if he's never been through it before, what exactly is going on in there? So the MRI is today, and everybody's speculating on what it is. I know this to be true. I know that Zach Gallen is starting tomorrow. That's the controllable. He has not been good this year. I don't know if it's his contract. I don't know if it's, well, I'll ask Jody about it. But if Zach Gallen can refine his form, if Eduardo Rodriguez could do something, I can't imagine being Ken Kendrick. I can't imagine it. I'm going to throw money into all these dudes and we're going to get this thing figured out. And then all of a sudden, they just go down one after the next. Injury, injury. And he keeps throwing money. That's a sign of an owner that cares and wants to win. We could be sitting here in Chicago with the White Sox or in Colorado with the Rockies. where the season was over before they even played a game. And the Rockies are on track to be the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball. We could have that here in Arizona. We could have an owner that just doesn't really care, that only wants the bottom line. I was reading a story where former owner of the Coyotes is selling his place at 10 times profit. I know that you're like, oh, how does that equate to the Coyotes? That dude was always, as most of the owners of the Coyotes, have always been into just making as much dough and then moving on. Quality of the product doesn't really matter. Cheap fast food restaurant, so to speak. And, you know, Ken keeps throwing money, big contracts at these guys, and what happens? One after the next, after the next, after the next. And are they mistakes by the organization? Is it just bad timing? Is it bad luck? All that you could throw into place. But I am not one to say the season is over. Give this some context from where they were a year ago and they missed it by a game, okay? You go through a week where you win four or five in a row and all of a sudden people are saying, oh, hey, they got it figured out. Yeah, can they do it consistently? It's June 2nd. If it's July 2nd, I'm probably saying things like, I would sell off this player and this player and this player. Right now, I'm still in the mode of I've got to buy. I've got to buy some players. I've got to buy some guys because this is not over with. It's not even close to being over with. It's still way too early. Is it punching Torrey's ticket and bringing in a new manager that's suddenly going to solve everything? It's like the Suns, okay? The Suns are going to hire either one of two assistant coaches from the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're not going to hire a well-known commodity. So they're going back a different direction. They brought in the guy that had been around, that had done it. They did it twice. Didn't work out. So this time around, for this owner, it's exhausting. He's going to go the young route. He's going to go the, well, we could have a guy come in here and we will probably be able to control him a little bit more than we were able to control the last two guys that were here and the guy that was here when we got the team. And now with New York out of the postseason in the NBA, Kevin Durant's situation will heat up. There'll be a Kevin Durant story every day. Kevin Durant to New York, Carl Anthony Towns. Oh, sure, it makes a lot of sense if you want a bunch of clicks. Doesn't make any sense at all if you're on this. It makes a lot of sense if you're a Suns fan. But let's deal with reality. Dreaming is free, as they like to say. I am looking forward to Oklahoma City and Indiana in the NBA Finals. I am. I'm one of the few, I think, in our industry. Our industry just doesn't appreciate. They just want it to be the biggest ratings point ever. And there'll be this narrative like, oh, wow, the TV ratings are terrible. And SGA, if he were in New York, if he were in LA, well, he's not. And they're not there. So just roll with it. I like the way that both teams play basketball. I like how there are some storylines, we'll get into it later, around both these franchises and how they were built on how they were put together. That's pretty much it for today. I want to get over to Jody about the Diamondbacks and John Wilner on the college football playoff stuff. We will do that after this timeout. And now, as always, it's great to see the smiling face of Jody Jackson presented by the good people at Rockin' Protein Shamrock Farms. We appreciate their support, Jody, week in and week out, chopping it up on the Diamondbacks, whatever else is going on in the world of sports. You're on your way to Atlanta today, correct?
I am. Yes, I am. Off day for the team. I had a few things this weekend to do with the kids. It was a busy one. And so decided to take the off day here in Arizona and fly today around 3 o'clock.
When you go to Atlanta, do you run? Because you're a runner.
I do. I do run.
Yeah. What is your favorite city to run in?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of good ones. Actually, Cincinnati's really good.
Why?
The bridges, and then there's a park across the way in Kentucky. Okay. There's a great, like, trail, you know, where you can run, which I didn't discover the first 7 years I was traveling there. I didn't know it existed, and then I found it. Like, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are sneaky good with the bridges and the trails.
Yeah. I would think that, like, Philadelphia, you could run up the stairs with Rocky. It's not the prettiest around that area, but it's not.
No, it is. There's a Boathouse Row right there. So, you run down, you run up the steps, down, whatever you want to do there, and then there's Boathouse Row. So there's sneaky, pretty green areas in these cities. It's
The
great.
obvious ones are San Diego and San Francisco. Seattle, I would think, would be beautiful depending on where you stay. Where's this? Well, I guess I shouldn't ask you, but I will ask you, is there a city you'd prefer to not run in?
Well, St. Louis is a little tough. Although I found some good spots, I was, being just there. LA's kind of tough. LA, you're in the city in downtown, so it's a lot of sidewalks. You know what I have learned the hard way is sidewalks can be bumpy, and you kind of want to find like a trail or something that's relatively not gonna trip you up.
Speaking of being tripped up, okay, let's just get right down to brass tacks here, Jody. We'll get to Corbin's injury in a second. Is there any belief in your mind that Torrey Lovello's job is in jeopardy based on where they are right now? Even a hint.
I mean, when you have a week, like what did we go with on the road? It was 1-5, and I did not really, as it was not normal, right? It was unique in a way because when you face the Dodgers and the Cardinals, though, two good teams. We know what the Dodgers are, and the Cardinals are pretty good as well this year. Their pitching's very good, and. But when you lose by one run, a lot of it I was pointing to the bullpen. It really was. A lot of it was bullpen and situational hitting. And you think, okay, you're gonna come home and that'll become a memory, right? 1-5 on the road. And then they come home and they get to 2-4 against Pittsburgh and the Nationals. But Brad, the way that those games played out, the Tuesday game will like suck the life out of you. Corbin Burnes pitched a great game, and then Kevin Ginkle had a mighty struggle. And but can it be traced? The question you asked is, it does start to enter your mind. Is there a change that's needed? What's needed to fix this? And so I think there's always a hint of that, when a team struggles. But as much as it sounds dire, I will say this, I've seen baseball, you and I have seen a lot of baseball. It could have been worse. It literally could have been worse. And now they're facing a whole myriad of problems, including the top one being the Corbin Burnes injury. But I said this earlier in the week, and I believe Torrey Lovello is still, it's not that his message is not getting across. I truly believe that he's still, there's a bond there with that team. I just think the pitching has not been there. For whatever reason, some starters have really struggled. For whatever reason, some members of the bullpen have really struggled. And that is, as much as the timely hitting has been a problem, but to me, the pitching's at the heart of what this team has to be about. And if they can't turn around the pitching, they're not going to have a chance. If they can get mediocre pitching, let's face it, last year with some meh pitching, the numbers were actually worse than what it felt like. They won 89 games. So, I mean, if they can at least get some decent pitching, I think this team will be fine. The question is, are they going to have enough healthy bodies? Or are they going to have guys that step up? What is going to happen down this? And we still have 4 months.
Okay, to your point. So I made some notes as I was watching yesterday. July, or I'm sorry, June 2nd, a year ago, 26 and 32. A year ago, 8 back in the wild card. Today, 5 back in the wild card. Okay. Eduardo Rodriguez has done nothing. Zach Gallen's had a miserable season. Mantiply is no longer here. DFA. Go right down the list of all the things that have happened, and you just look at it and say, under Torrey, May usually isn't good. Am I right? Like, if you're just looking at the.
Well, we said that again. We have said that for years for whatever reason with May, with Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt was always terrible in May.
Yes.
I don't remember pinning it on Torrey, but we did. There was a year or two where they struggled to hit in May. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Those numbers should be somewhat encouraging, though, because, and here's the thing with baseball. And people, I know a lot of people will say, well, Jody's just being a homer or something like that.
No, come on, you're wearing the purple colors. What are you talking about, Homer?
I was told to wear jewel tones. They're good for the skin.
That
I
is,
don't know.
that works. I need that.
Earth tones and jewel tones. Here's the thing. I remember going back through this with national media when they went to the World Series. They said this season started out with Madison Bumgarner still trying to pitch. This season started out with, I mean, it always, when you, baseball's like that. You are always shedding guys that you thought were core guys because they're either getting older or ineffective or they get hurt or. So as much as it stinks that 20, and yeah, I think there are still some members of this 23, if you go to the World Series year and even last year. I mean, last year you had Merrill Kelly gone for 3 months. Eduardo, I won't even, not to discount him. He's a guy that's going to have to pitch important innings for this team, but I won't talk about him missing because he isn't as much of a core piece as a Merrill Kelly. Zach, here's the thing I will say. Zach Gallen really needs to figure it out. Zach Gallen is healthy, right? We know that he's healthy. Why is he not pitching better?
Is he healthy up here? Because
I mean, that is something that's a question.
he's in his contract year, and sometimes, the paralysis by analysis. I remember doing something with him last year, and he said, "I'm glad, Brad, you didn't ask me that much about the contract." I'm sorry, but you're going to get asked about it. That's how it works. And
Yeah.
I think there's something up here with him and the whole deal of I've got to be this and that. And they bring Corbin in. Am I going to be here? Am I wrong on that? You're around him a lot more than
No,
I.
I think you're right. And I don't know if it's the contract or just even the pitching. Last year was not a contract year. And I watched him at Wrigley Field throw, I mean, he didn't go, I don't know if he went six or five and a third or something. 3-0, the D-backs won the game, but he walked six batters. Okay, I'm guessing the wind wasn't blowing out that day too, but he's always trying to throw those perfect pitches. And this year it's burning him. When he's walking, last year he walked on the fine line, and he for years, actually, what do we talk about with Zach Gallen? We always used to talk about he'd get the bases loaded, he'd get out of it. He'd get in a jam, he'd get out of it. He's getting in the jams now, and now he's not getting out of it. He walked in a run. I mean, he's giving up when he gives up a big hit. These walks are coming around to score. So maybe if, to your point, if it is in his head, someone needs to get with him and just say, look, Zach, just pitch. Just pitch like you know you can. Don't worry about the outcome. Right now, if we're getting the result we've had and he's worrying about the outcome, it's not working. So,
Do you think he misses Brent Strom?
no, in fact, and again, this is an area where I feel a little strange because people say, well, you should know this. You're around the club. But there were a lot of things, and I have not. Gotten full on confirmation of this, but there were a lot of things pointing to he and Brent Strom were clashing, and that maybe he was the reason for the change. I've never heard that from Zach, and I don't really know how true that is, but it is a sentiment that I've heard
Me too.
before.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah.
If they do miss Brent Strom though. And that's a whole nother question. I know this Brian Kaplan is a really smart guy. He's also new to the job. Sean Larkin is new to the job. They have a couple coaches that are new, probably learning a lot about some of the subtleties on the job. And Brent, that was an area where he was a veteran, right? He had done that for years and years talking to pitchers. So I think that right now they need to, I've never heard a As much as you and I know pitching coaches are very important, I've never heard a pitcher say, well, I lost my stuff because of the pitching coach, or I had a bad year going into my contract year because of the pitching coach. And I've never heard a guy say, well, I won that Cy Young because of the pitching coach, right? I mean, they're there to help. They're there to figure it out. But you got, and the other thing is like a Corbin Burnes is a great example. This is why this guy is, if hopefully he's not out for the season, I don't know, but this guy is a true pro. He knows his body, he knows his pitching, he takes responsibility for himself. It's all on him every day. Now, does he have help? Yes. So I think it's really up to these guys. Merrill Kelly's been in this league long enough to know what he needs to do. Zach Gallen knows what he needs to do. Those two guys are healthy. Ryan Nelson's healthy. We hope Ryan Nelson can figure out his spot. We're going to see what happens there. Christian Mena, I think, is going to have to get a longer look.
And then Eduardo Rodriguez. And so, but here's the thing on Corbin. I'm going to give a little bit here and I'll let you go. A little bit here of you. So tomorrow you're going to get into Atlanta tonight. You may or may not know about the MRI on Corbin. Tomorrow you're going to be in this spot of being doctor. not you being doctor, but you got to talk to docs tomorrow. You're probably going to be asked tomorrow, what was it that Tory said? What does this mean? What's the rehab? All the who, what, where, when, why, how that every last fan's going to want to know about Corbin Burns. So how do you go about that and put the noise to the sidelines and say, that's not somebody that I'm going to lean into to ask on this one?
Well, I think the good news is that's what I've done all my career is just you're just reporting facts. And so, you know, let's be honest, you're either going to get devastating news that he needs Tommy John, or you're going to get news, I would think. And, you know, now I am speculating, you know, maybe it's going to be more like the AJ Puck thing where you need to rest it and you need to rehab it. And that's still going to be a couple of months, but that's still better than the alternative, you know. And remember, AJ Puck took a couple of weeks. So there might be a situation tomorrow, Brad, that was going to be very frustrating to the fans, but it is what it is on. We may not know a lot tomorrow. Maybe it's going to be second opinions. Maybe it's going to be another couple of days of figuring out, you know, what is best for Corbin Burns. But, you know, he's almost dialed into his body to a fault where it's like, you feel like he's ready to diagnose. Right, he's on the mound. He's telling, you know, if the lip reading was right, you know, my elbow's gone. It's like, oh man, wow, that's not what anyone wanted to see. But he knows what he feels. If he's never, the other thing though is if he's never felt anything in the elbow before, he doesn't really know what he's feeling, right? You know, you've got so. Yeah, I will just listen to facts, and I will report the facts, and I will ask a lot of questions of a lot of different people, and that's really all you can do in that situation. And then you put it into the context. That's the easy part for me, having been around a long time, is like putting it into the context. What does it mean for this team? And, you know, it's obviously a devastating blow, but team after team, the guy they're going to face tomorrow, Spencer Strider, the D-backs hung six on him last year in the first inning, and he left the mound and he needed Tommy John. So things do turn around. There is a future. There is another day. There is another day that will happen. Everybody is all in on this season, though. I don't think anyone's wiping away. You mentioned the numbers. The numbers were worse this time last year, and they had 89 wins. So how do they do it? But they have to use every resource. They have to win the games in every little detail way, and they haven't been doing that. So how can they win every game with defense, with clutch hitting? Those things have to show up if you're going to be missing a pitcher or two.
All right. You've been brilliant today, as always.
Well, thanks.
Get on out there and do your thing. You're going to go to Atlanta and you're going to have a great time there. And there's interesting stories. When I say great time, could you imagine being like the Rockies or White Sox? Like, you know, you're going to get your hand kicked in every
game. Horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you're actually walking into something that, in our business, there's so many intriguing storylines. Is it ironic that Zach Gallen's going to be on the mound tomorrow night after Corbin Burns gets hurt, and he better deliver something or the world's going to fall in? Can Merrill Kelly get through his cramping issue? He hasn't had that in a while, but has he had it? Is it water?
Well, hush now, Brad. That hasn't shown up in a few weeks.
I know. Right. But it's all
right, though. Can everybody get back to who they are? Right. Can everyone get back to who they are?
Yeah, I didn't even ask you about Corbin Carroll. What's going on there? But that's the beauty of baseball, is that there's all these storylines you look at. And I'm sitting here saying, I don't think it's time to wave the white flag yet, even though I got a lot of that yesterday sent over. Oh, the season's over. Forget it. No, it's not. It's not.
Thanks for your big picture view, because you know as well as I do that that is the truth. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, all right. Safe travels. See you.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Have a great one.
There's Jody Jackson, presented by our good friends at Rockin' Protein and Shamrock Farms. We're back with more after this timeout. And now the man that has the ear of the Big Ten and the SEC, John Wilner, because the commissioners there, they poured into John Wilner hotline and said, how can we eliminate the Big 12 and ACC? This has been going on for years. Now, last week, John and I weren't together, and there was big news last week, or maybe there wasn't. Maybe it was sword rattling. I don't know. But here is John to fill in all the blanks on, let's just start, was last week a newsworthy week in terms of meetings, Big 12, SEC, Big 10, ACC?
A lot of news last week, actually, for late May. And don't forget the announcement of the early season kickoffs, which is a big deal for fans, right? You need to make plans. So, yeah, lot of news going on. Most of it involves the college football playoff. So quick reminder for our viewers here. The upcoming season is 12 teams. It's staying with 12. The only change is that they're going to seed the teams based on their ranking. There won't be spots reserved for the conference champions. So Arizona State, in other words, if this process had been applied last year, ASU would not have gotten a first round bye. Starting in the 2026 season, it's going to be all new. They're going to expand. Looks like they're expanding to 16 and not 14. They are also having a heated debate, and this was the big focus last week. How do you decide the 16? Are you going to give them most of those spots to automatic qualifiers? In other words, the Big Ten would have four spots reserved before the season even starts. Same with the SEC. Or do you go to a format that is heavy on at-large teams? That's the 5 plus 11 model. Five spots for conference champs, 11 at-large. So the news that came out really was the SEC meetings, they are in favor of the 5 plus 11. The Big Ten is in favor of what's called the 4-4-2-2-1 model, in which most of the bids are automatic qualifiers. So it's setting up as Big Ten versus SEC. The Big 12 and ACC are secondary players. They don't have the authority to you know, impact the format. They can provide advice. They can consult. But ultimately, the decision is with the Big Ten and SEC, and the ACC and Big 12 are kind of along for the ride, but they do favor the 5 plus 11. The Big Ten is the only conference that really wants most of the bids to be based on automatic qualifiers.
This is a surprise, isn't it? That the SEC is not saying, we want to wipe it out, we just want to make it about us in the Big Ten. Isn't that a surprise to you, John, or no?
No, not really. It's a little bit different narrative than we had gotten over the past few months, where it seemed like the SEC was more aligned with the Big Ten. But here's the issue. It's all interconnected with the regular season, because the Big Ten wants the SEC to go to 9 conference games, right? The SEC only plays 8, which is an advantage, because for most schools, that extra non-conference game is a cupcake. So it pads their win totals. The Big Ten, the SEC, oh, go ahead.
Usually they play that cupcake game in late to mid-November.
Yeah, yeah.
Aces, to give themselves a bye week. It's just an
basically.
It's really against the system, in my opinion.
It is. And the Big Ten doesn't like it. And the Big Ten thinks it is an unbalanced,
sure,
competitive playing field. So the thing is that the SEC, their coaches don't necessarily want to go to 9 conference games. The Big Ten is saying, we are not going to support a college football playoff model in which there are 5 bids for our conference champs and 11 at-larges if the SEC is going to keep playing 8 conference games instead of 9, because they're going to have an advantage in getting those at-large bids because their teams are going to have more wins, because they're playing one less conference game. So if you are playing an extra cupcake, you could have 10 wins instead of 9, and that puts you in better position for an at-large bid. So the Big Ten saying, we're not supporting the model if the SEC is not switching its conference schedule. So it's a very involved issue. They're also talking about play-in games on championship weekend. So in other words, the Big Ten, if they had 4 automatic bids, the first 2 would go to the teams in the conference championship game. They'd also then have team 3 playing 6 and 4 playing 5 to earn the final 2 automatic bids. It's a way to build more TV inventory. Again, the SEC coaches, SEC administrators, are not really in favor of doing that on their end. So we've gotten to the point where the SEC and the Big Ten are on opposite sides of this thing. And you know, this is for 2026. They got to decide in the next few months. But because it's also tied to the SEC's regular season schedule, there's even more of a deadline for resolution, and it's all connected.
Okay, how does this impact Arizona State and Arizona?
Well, the Big 12 is adamant about the 5 plus 11 model, which 5 bids for automatic conference champs, 11 at-larges. And the reason is, if they agree to the Big Ten's version, where the Big Ten and SEC each get four automatic bids, and the Big 12 and ACC only get two, then the Big 12 is admitting formally we're inferior, that we are taking half as many bids as the SEC and Big Ten. That makes us half the conference. Their view is, let's earn it on the field where you have 11 at-large spots. If we don't earn it on the field, that's fine. But we don't want to codify in the college football playoff governance rules that we're half the conference of the Big Ten and SEC. We're taking two and they get four. The damage, I think the damage for admitting you're half the league, the optics would be terrible for the Big Ten, terrible for Arizona, terrible for Arizona State. So they're all in favor of a model in which there are more at-large bids and you just earn it or don't earn it on the field rather than a structure that says ahead of time we're inferior. It would be like if the NFL had a deal where the NFC West only got two playoff bids and the NFC Central got three before the season even started. There's no way the NFC West would say yes. So there's no way the Big Ten is going to say yes to giving the other those two conferences more automatic bids.
So John Woolner with us for a couple of minutes. So we spoke about a month ago on scheduling and strength of, and I brought up NAU is always on U of A and ASU.
Yep.
And I brought up Texas State this year as the example for Arizona State. If they go with the Big Ten model, those games really do hurt more. If they go with the SEC model, as they're leaning right now, that is in line, right? So I'm just getting the strength of schedule part for fans because they're asking, John.
They are asking. So the deal with the Big Ten model, and you know, we could do a whole nother segment on this. The Big Ten model, where you'd have the Big 12 getting two automatic qualifiers, no matter what happens during the season. League could be great, only getting two. League could stink, only getting two. The two would be determined by the Big 12. It'd be based on the conference race. Non-conference games would have little to no significance, right? So I don't know if the Big 12 would institute a play-in game. In other words, you know, the conference champ gets one of the automatic qualifiers, and then you've got a play-in game somehow for the other. But non-conference games wouldn't really matter. And that's, I'm gonna go into the weeds here for a sec, but
We love it,
and you feel free to edit this segment out. So
man. Yeah.
the reason the Big Ten wants automatic qualifiers is because it could add play-in games on the championship weekend, and it could also add a crossover scheduling series with the SEC. In other words, every Big Ten team, well, 16 of the 18 Big Ten teams could play 16 SEC games. A way to create more regular season inventory to get more money. They don't trust the selection committee. So they're saying if we make our schedule tougher by adding a crossover series with the SEC, we don't want an extra loss to punish us by the from the committee. So we want automatic bids. We don't want the committee determining who's getting in. We want to do it ourselves. They're doing those crossover games for more money. Why are they doing them more? Why do they need more money? Because of the House lawsuit where everybody's on the hook to share $20 million in revenue. So you have these three competing factors: the need for more revenue because of the House lawsuit, distrust for the committee, and the fact that ESPN won't pay more for an expanded playoff. If they go to 16, ESPN's not on the hook to pay more money. So the conferences have to figure out how can we get more money to pay for the House lawsuit? Well, we got to add to our regular season inventory. If we do that, we may end up with more losses, but we don't trust the committee. So let's come up with automatic qualifiers. I hope that makes sense, but it's like a seven-dimensional chess: regular season, postseason, lawsuits, committee, ESPN's contract. It all fits together. Big 12 is kind of in the same boat, right? If there's automatic qualifiers, then they don't necessarily need to increase the strength of their non-conference schedule. Or they could increase the strength of the non-conference schedule. It won't matter, right, because the conference race would determine who gets in.
Wow, that is a lot of
It's
connecting.
a lot to digest, and that's part of the reason it's taking so long. They've been talking about this stuff for years. The 2026 season is starting in 15 months, and there's no model for the playoff because it is so connected to off the field issues, regular season schedules, TV contracts. It's hard to digest. I think they have until December. They got to get it off. They owe ESPN a new format by December. So we've got, 6 more months of this discussion going on.
And that's probably enough. John, thanks as always.
Thanks very much, Brad.
Here's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this time out.